Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two, baseball coverage on KFH, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two. Rick Regan in for Tommy today here on the program. We talked a lot of baseball there in that first hour. That's all available for you. If you missed any of it, you can go back and watch it on our video stream, which you'll find right now. You'll find it on X. You'll find it on YouTube. You'll find it on Facebook. You can also go back and listen to that at kfhradio.com or the Odyssey app. So we podcast out the program there, Jad does. And so you can get that every day. The other cool thing with the video stream that's coming next week, we should be starting Monday. If all goes according to plan, we will start simulcasting the video stream on 12 News Plus, which we're very excited about. We're very excited about that partnership. One of my other day jobs over there at 12 News should be a lot of fun. We're trying to get in and lock in a lot of great guests for that week and do some cool stuff. So we'll have more details as we make our way through this week, but we're really looking forward to that and, you know, growing the show a little bit, widening our audience a little bit. Should be a lot of fun. Again, all the baseball talk there in the first hour. We can go back to the Royals before the end of the program, probably here. And then don't forget, we have a text to win contest right now going for HTO. You can get a free iced tea and a free coffee from HTO, free rain coffee, more than 20 flavors of the tea. Just text the keyword tea, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. All right, Rick, you sent me this yesterday, and it has me interested. I think I have an answer, But maybe I don't have an answer. Now, you and Tommy are much greater followers of golf. I'm a very recreational follower of golf. A couple of the names you'll list here have to do with golf. And then one is very much in the news now because he was just drafted into the NBA. But sure. You've got this scenario. I'll let you set this up for us. As we've got this next generation of athletes coming up, a lot of star players now are the kids of former players, but we don't know about some of these names you're going to list off. So, for example, Bobby Witt Jr., we know he's great. Fernando Tatis Jr., we know he's great. Patrick Sertan Jr., we already know those guys are great. These names you've got, we don't know anything about yet.
Well, the trick is son of a goat. Son of the goat. Romeo Beckham. David Beckham's kid plays in Florida, plays in the Premier League. Scottie Pippen Jr. Scottie Pippen, no goat, but pretty darn good, plays for the Grizzlies. Dwayne Wade's kid plays. John Daly II, John Daly's kid plays. He didn't make the cut, but he was in his first tournament last weekend. I ask about the son of the goat, Charlie Woods, Bronny James. Yeah. Charlie Woods' net worth is $25 million. Bronny James' net worth is $10 million. He made $5 million, over $5 million in NIL money last year. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is a just out of high school kid that Charlie Woods isn't even. So who has a bigger upside?
The answer is Charlie Woods, I think. Right? Because isn't he, and you guys know this better than I do, but isn't he already, like, really awesome at golf? Like, we already know he's pretty awesome at golf.
He's really good. He's really, really good.
I've seen John Daly's kid, and he looks the part. I have not seen him play golf. I think that...
Think of it like this.
It's hard.
NBA, 30 teams, 300 guys.
Yeah. Right.
PGA, 150 guys, a couple hundred guys. One's a team sport, one's an individual sport. Obviously, big differences there. But I don't know if Bronny James, Charlie Woods, what does the world think? What do people listening think?
Nobody's going to give Bronny, nobody's going to give the nod to Bronny here because we saw a season that was very strange based on a medical condition of college. I would say he's not getting enough credit for the possibility of being a good, we'll call it a good NBA player. He's not going to be anything close to his dad, but we knew that already. He's not the same kind of physical specimen his dad is. But I do think just based on what kind of high school player he became and what kind of college prospect he became before the heart condition, I think we would have a very different answer to this question. And I just think it's a little strange to totally write off the possibility that he's going to be a decent to good NBA player because of this limited window we got to see in college. Based on everything you hear from the NBA combine, the draft combine, he was one of the more impressive players there. We know his pedigree, and we know what sort of college prospect he turned into. By the end of it, he was like a top 50 recruit. And those kinds of guys blow up in the league all the time.
Yes, they do.
So I just think with his pedigree, with the genetic lottery that is there already, it's a decent chance he's got staying power in the NBA. It's why I thought the Lakers were really smart for doing what they did on a bunch of different levels. And I'm going to ask you about that here in a second.
Okay, let me ask you about this. Let me ask you this. So you've mentioned genetics. Is it that?
Yeah.
Is it that? Or is it the head? Is it the brain? Is it the psychological part? No, but I'm saying, what's the advantage to being Tiger Woods' son? You think it's more that, or it's more Tiger Woods can tell you how to teach you how to play the game?
Golf might be a little different.
Bronny James learns how to play from his dad, who's played since high school.
In the NBA, there is a much larger physical genetic component to it than golf.
Sure, you got to be six something huge, but
right in golf, John Daly can be successful and not take care of himself at all physically.
Yeah,
and
but changed. Like you mentioned, yeah, but hang
golfers,
on.
Now listen, hang most on. Golfers don't do that anymore.
Look, you right? said They're John all... Daly looks like his John Daly's second looks like his dad. Swings like his dad. You've seen Charlie Woods in videos. He swings just like Tiger Woods. He looks. You and I can't swing like Tiger Woods, no matter how hard we try. Tiger Woods' kid can because Tiger Woods taught him how.
Yeah. I think there is a larger mental component probably in golf. There are certain physical requirements you must possess to be a pro basketball player. I don't know that it's quite the same in golf. We've seen golfers of all shapes and sizes be successful. You really don't see.
Okay, so you got to be tall, but you don't really. Come on, you don't really have to be tall. There's lots of 6 foot. There's lots of guys the same size as you and me in the NBA. Lots of 6 foot tall guys in the NBA. Yes, it sure helps to be. It's sure
lots.
There's some. There's only five guys on a team. One guy can be 6 foot tall.
Okay, let me ask you this. Could you be 5'9 and be a pro golfer?
Absolutely.
Could you be 5'9 and be an NBA player?
You better be able to jump pretty damn high. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so a couple of inches.
The reason I say 5'9 is I'm pretty sure that's the average height of an American male.
And obviously you can't be 148 pounds and be in the NFL either. Yes, there are some physical requirements for all of these sports. You know, Bryce James, the next sundown, he's 6'6". He's never going to be a Formula One driver. He's never going to cram that big frame into a NASCAR. So,
he could be too big
for other sports. We'll just throw that in there.
We see the other thing is, players' kids aren't always great, but I don't know that we've ever had as many great player, you know, second generation players as we have right now. There are tons of them.
But GOAT.
Across all sports. Well, GOAT, I mean, you're not going to get...
My original question was so then GOATs.
So then you only can really have two players in there anyway. Because the only two that, you know, Tiger Woods can have a claim at GOAT, and LeBron James, you know, has a claim at GOAT. It's not a foregone conclusion, but you can make the case.
I wouldn't, but...
Of those two... How do you feel about this, too, by the way? Because I think a lot of what we're talking about here is why it was fine for the Lakers. There's been a lot of nepotism talk with Bronny James, and I just laugh at that. And I'm like, now's the time you want to point out nepotism in sports?
Makes a difference? No.
Right. I mean, come on. Like, owners give their teams to their kids, and front office executives are generational like that. We are broadcasters. There are people who do what we do for a living, where nepotism is just everywhere. And I'm like, so what? If the Lakers think it's a better business decision to draft LeBron James's kid, is that nepotism or is it being smart? If LeBron James wants to play for the team more because his kid's there, like, what are we talking about here? Nepotism. Rick, we all want to pass our business down to our kids, don't we? Like, that's sort of, like, you can get as mad at that. Like, what are you going to do to stop that? Like, make people sell their companies? Like, what the hell are we talking about?
Worse than that, we all wish we had a hand-up guy. Come on.
Our politicians are all, you know, generational. Like, we've been doing this forever. Like, we're just going to pick LeBron James as this nepotism thing. Like, what are we even talking about here? Like, why is this the line in the sand everybody's going to draw in regards to nepotism? Who cares? Right?
When
you
talk about,
care about that.
Well, when you go with LeBron, you know, he's looking – there's talk about him trying to get Klay Thompson or other guys to join the Lakers. He's looking at taking a huge, huge pay cut.
Yeah.
$20 million to play with his kid. Now all the haters
that just thought that was such a dumb waste of time, it's like, guys, now not only is LeBron going to come back to play with his kid, there's no doubt about that. That was the way you could solidify that, by making that draft pick. Didn't cost you anything in reality. It was pick 55 out of, what, 62? So you have that. I would say it also greatly increases your chances of getting LeBron to play maybe two more years. And now what if, yeah, all of a sudden now LeBron's like, you know what? Let's get Clay in here. I'm going to take a pay cut. You think he's doing any of this if they don't go draft Bronny? It was a very smart decision. It was a smart basketball decision by the Lakers. It was a smart business decision by the Lakers. Why would they not? It's not nepotism. It was a smart thing to do.
Now, can Bronny be as good potentially as Charlie Woods?
As his dad?
And his dad, yes, both. Yeah.
No, Bronny's not going to be as good as his dad. I'll tell you that right now. Could Charlie... I'll say this. Who is more likely to match their father's level of success? It's going to be Charlie Woods because there is no chance Bronny James matches his father's. Like, zero, absolute zero chance that Bronny James is as good as his dad. Like, no, not even on the radar. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be a good player, but he's not going to be that player. Charlie Woods... I don't know.
Never,
I mean,
never is going to be as good as his dad. Never.
I mean, there's a physical component. If Charlie Woods develops into a great golfer, I mean, his dad broke down physically. Could he if he stays healthy and played for 30 years could he get to 10 majors or, you know, whatever? Maybe. We got to see him play. How old is he? He's not, is he even
15,
in high school
16,
yet?
17? The trick to me now, where is motivation? It's motivation. Come on, I mean, LeBron James wanted to take on the world. Jordan, the world.
Charlie Woods is 15.
Tiger Woods.
And qualified for a USGA event.
Yeah, there's already a 15-year-old guy that made the PGA this year. That qualified for an event. I'm not down in Charlie Woods. I'm just saying, yeah. Tiger Woods?
To answer your question, which one is more likely to get to the status of their father, I don't think it's close. I think it'd be Charlie Woods.
All right, there you go.
Only because I would say there is just zero chance for Bronny. Zero. I mean, Bronny, think about where LeBron was at Bronny's age. LeBron, he stepped into the league as one of the best players, right? Bronny was trying to figure out if he can be good enough to make a roster. So just think about that when they were both 18, 19 years old. Like, zero chance. There's no chance. Charlie Woods, like, we'll see how he develops as a golfer over the next 4 years. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's more likely to happen than Bronny James just because there's zero chance on Bronny James for something like that. No chance.
One way or another, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch these two young guys.
Yeah, I love it either way. Yeah, putting them up to the status of their dads is ridiculous anyway. But then you do look back, and, you know, when we have some of these great second-generation guys right now, Patrick Mahomes, picked a different sport than his dad, certainly. But Bobby Witt Jr. comes to mind. Bobby Witt Jr. will be better than his dad. And his dad was pretty dang good. Fernando Tatis Jr., better than his dad. And his dad was pretty good. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will be a great case study.
The
because
Rock.
He's an all-star caliber player. And Vladdy Sr. is a Hall of Famer when the time comes. So
how about
it's like,
The Rock?
Okay. Right, but you don't have... I mean, he was University of Miami.
Well, I'm just saying as a wrestler, his dad was a wrestler. If you want to talk about, we can stretch sports a little bit. And
you want to talk about nepotism? There's lots of nepotism in pro wrestling, but yeah.
Lots of great nepotism.
Yeah, in a good way. They use it. Whatever. We've gone a couple of different directions here. But nepotism thing, like, what are we doing with the net? Like, who cares? Well, there is nepotism everywhere. And if you have kids, you want the best for your kids. Like,
If you don't like nepotism, are you just jealous? But you don't have one?
Well, you are. Of course we are. Of course we are. But Rick, like, how do you even stop that? Like, what are we going to do with society? And we're not talking about, like, kings inheriting kingdoms. Like, we're talking about business here. Like, where do you even draw that line? Hey, sorry, Clark Hunt, you can't pass the Chiefs down a generation. Sorry, Bob's Roofing Company, you can't give that company to your kid. You just have to sell it, I guess, whenever you're done. Like, what a weird line to go into. And people can lecture me about that all you want. I didn't do nepotism for me in my life. I'm not trying to protect anything. But my goodness, like, what do you think you're going to do here? By saying the Lakers can't draft Bronny James because it'd be nepotism. A, they can do whatever the hell they want, and B, it's the smart thing to do. I don't know. I thought that got a little ridiculous over the last few days. 869-1240, you can chime in on the IHOP hotline. You can leave us your comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Coming soon, simulcast 12 News Plus. Excited about that. Let's take a break. Lots to get to today. NBA free agency. It's been eventful.
Money.
And it's sort of, you know, it's not even about as much about that. I don't even care about as much about that as I do. Are any of these teams handing out mega deals? Like, we're all chasing the Celtics, right? Are any of these moves needle movers enough that it could elevate somebody?
I think so.
The Celtics. I think it could be, too. I'm with you, which is a little surprising. Right now, the most active is certainly the 76ers. Oklahoma City makes a big deal, more regionally relevant. But we'll get into all of it as we make our way through this Monday edition. It's all Brockton Regan. It's Sports Daily. Chad Chambers producing. We'll be right back.
KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Give Crestview a call. They'll show you around the facility. They got a big 4th of July party coming up this week. They'll put on a big fireworks show. It's one of their big events of the year. But tell them we sent you over there. Check out. You can have the social memberships, the golf if you want it. Rick and I are both out there. I've been trying to play a little more golf here, Rick. I'll tell you, though, if I tried to play golf right now, I couldn't. So we had a great party this weekend. There's every year some of our friends put on like a grown-up pool party. And inevitably, for the guys, it's just like 9 hours of, beer and pool volleyball. But as we get older, that pool volleyball, like today, I wake up now 2 days clear, and I'm just, God, I couldn't swing a golf club today, Rick, if I wanted to.
Yes, I'm a little more senior. You know, we go to the pool parties where the guys' kids bring their girlfriends and wives, and then it's much better of a party as we can just sit there and watch other people swim and play volleyball and still enjoy the beer and relax and be much better for it. My heart feels much better after watching younger chicks play
folks have
volleyball.
The fun that you used to play. Yeah.
I don't really.
All right. So let's look at NBA free agency here. And we go into the opening salvo. And so the Knicks sort of made the first big play, bringing in Bridges. They traded a ton of picks for him, but they're sort of trying to load up here. They did lose a player, and I don't know much about Hartenstein, who the Thunder just brought over, but it's a relatively, I'm seeing Knicks fans react to it this morning, and they'll miss him, so maybe that helps the Thunder. I don't think we're going to put the Thunder quite into the conversation yet, but so far the Knicks and the 76ers have certainly been the most aggressive. The 76ers go and bring over Paul George. They get their players all basically re-signed. They're sort of going for a big three with he, Maxi, and Embiid. And then you have the Knicks, who are sort of a young up-and-comer. So if we're looking just in the East there, with the Celtics doing what they just did, having the type of season they just had, which was pretty dominant start to finish, do we think of the Celtics as uncatchable for the East? Because I would say I feel like the 76ers and the Knicks have both just given themselves a pretty decent chance in the next couple of years to run them down. I don't know if they will, but I think it'll be competitive in the East.
The East is awesome. Look at all the teams.
Well, it's getting better. The West is better. The West is better, but the East is getting better at the top anyway.
Very competitive teams. Very competitive teams.
I think so.
The 76ers? I mean,
If Embiid stays healthy,
they got Andre Drummond,
George Embiid, and Max.
Right? They got Andre Drummond now, right? Isn't that right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. They just signed Kelly Oubre Jr. for another couple of years. Paul George.
Fans.
Joel Embiid. I still call him Joel. Do you call him Joel or Joel?
Joel.
Joel.
That's what his name
is. That's his name is. But I hate when I hear people call him Joel. But I'm telling you, the Sixers, I think they have a great team. They really do. I think the East is going to be so very, very competitive. Just like the West. But the East is going to have this, I don't know, I guess I see a lot of parity. And as a basketball fan, I like that. I like that every game is tough. I don't.
Yeah, look, the West has been better. The West has been more competitive. You just had this. But I do think these moves. And the problem for a team like the Sixers is you've got health concerns about a couple of the players. The Knicks are younger. The Knicks were the upstarts. I'm curious about the Knicks. I hope that the Knicks are very real. And then you see out West, you see Golden State continuing to sort of slowly break it down. It looks like Klay Thompson will go on somewhere else, and that's fine. Oklahoma City makes a small addition. New Orleans made a big addition in Murray in a trade with Atlanta.
Well, Hartenstein's a huge guy.
I know. And look, Oklahoma City, to be fair, they don't need really like headline. They just need some experience and some beef. Oklahoma City is banking more on continuing to develop their young players, but they'll be better. Dallas will probably do something to make themselves at least as good, if not a little bit better. Denver, I would suspect, bounces back. Milwaukee, I would suspect, bounces back. We're not even, you know, what does Phoenix do now with Durant? Do they have any legs in life left? There's just a lot in the West to mix it up. The Lakers are probably going to get Klay Thompson. Which I would think in a small scale would make them a little bit better. Is it enough better? I don't know. But the West is so jumbled, and I think there's overall more talent in the West. But I'm glad that you're seeing a couple of teams at least in the East load up, and maybe Indiana gets a little bit better with their young players too. But it is a good start to. I think it's an interesting start to free agency.
Paul George is 23 points a game.
Paul George is awesome.
And the position he plays and how he plays. I mean, you know, come on, he's a two-way guy that's going to help the Sixers on defense. I mean, he truly is. He plays defense. And that's big. You get a Kelly Oubre Jr., Drummond, Joel. I think they have, of course, if he can stay healthy, but I think the Philly's got a good team. I can like the Phillies.
I do too. I like Philly. All right. So
what crazes me about NBA, just real quick before we run away, is the money. It's really amazing.
Yeah, but
it's
you got to
really
remember, it always, but we just have to remember, like, salaries and everything are going up across all sports, and the NBA just had to pay fewer players. So you've got, you know, think about this with baseball, and everyone's like, oh, baseball players make so much money, and they do because they get fully guaranteed contracts, but they play 162 games a year, right? So football, you're playing, you know, at most 20 games a year. So, and there are so many players on a roster, right? Yes, football is the most valuable sport, but they have to pay more players and they play fewer games. Okay, so in baseball, you get 162 games and you have a little bit fewer than, at least at the major league level, than football. But then you get the NBA and they play 80 games. 80, what do they play? 82. And so you have that and the fact that, what are there, 12 to 14 guys on a roster? So you get all that money from a long season. Salary caps go up. There's just fewer players to pay. I mean, it's always been that way in the NBA.
I get that part. But paying a guy $1 million a week seems like a lot of money to me.
Well, of course
it is.
There's
10 guys probably in the NBA that make over $50 million a year. Even NFL guys. There's 10 NFL guys.
Just remember, these owners are billionaires. That doesn't happen by accident. If it wasn't worth it, they wouldn't do it. So it's obviously worth it. It's all got to be relative. I mean, it's all got to be relative. And relative to their sport and the money it generates and all the other different things and the chances a star player, you know, the impact they have on a team, then it makes a whole lot more sense to. And just remember, too, by the way, the Celtics gave Jaylen Brown the max deal and everybody kind of scoffed at that. How'd that work out for them this year? Right. So, yeah, there will be some of these contracts where we're like, yeah, that was a bad contract. There's going to be some that you're like, that was a really, really shrewd move. Maybe it's a move like Paul George. You know, he's a little more advanced in age, but it happens all the time.
Yep.
It happens all the time. And it's off to a good start. I do think it's off to an interesting start. What do you think of Chris Paul to San Antonio. I like that a little bit sneaky. They bring him in with Wimby. Here's the other reason, because they drafted some young players that I think Paul could really help. I thought that was a pretty shrewd move. I think that was a pretty shrewd move for them. San Antonio had been rumored as a potential spot for Trae Young, which is interesting to think about. I don't know. I don't know that I love that idea for San Antonio. I think the way they drafted bringing in a vet like Chris Paul to maybe help pop, you know, build up some of these young players is
the UConn is a kid. Smart He's there for go. The UConn. What's the UConn guy? They drafted the guard from UConn. What's his name? Castle.
I just forgot his name. Is it Castle?
Stephon Castle. Come on.
They had another pick. They had another pick that I really liked. They traded Dillingham. I think Dillingham could be all right, but they traded him. Yeah, I love the Castle move. It makes sense. I think we all do. It's hard not to love anything. You know, anything to do with UConn the last couple of years is pretty hard not to, you know, to gravitate to.
And then Wimby.
A little bit.
Come on. Wimby's like Caitlin Clark. Must-watch basketball.
Yeah, I don't know that he's having. By the way, what a weekend for the WNBA and Caitlin Clark.
Isn't that something?
You had Clark Taurasi for the first time, which was pretty cool. And then you saw after the game Taurasi, who'd sort of famously been preparing us all for the hard time Clark's going to get in the WNBA, giving her flowers after the game. You know, not, and I don't mean that literally, figuratively, which was kind of cool to see. And then you have Angel Reese, who, you know, is doing things that no player in the WNBA. I think more double doubles in a row than any player ever in the history.
I can't believe what an Angel Reese fan I'm becoming.
Because what I love. A, she's a great player, but I love the dynamic she is bringing into the equation for the drama of it all. She because is. You have to have the drama of it all in order for this Caitlin Clark gift on a silver platter of her popularity, if you're really going to capitalize on that and make it what it can ultimately be, you've got to have all of it, and it's got to be interesting. And right now with Angel Reese, that makes it more interesting. It could not be going better, I don't think, for the WNBA. I really don't. I think people are genuinely becoming interested
Sure.
in the things that are happening. And that is so cool to see. And good for them. It was a big weekend for them.
Well, with basketball, you know, you can like watching the guys you don't like. If you know what I mean.
Totally.
I was absolutely never a Michael Jordan fan.
I wasn't either.
Always other guys, but I would watch Michael Jordan. And how I feel about
because
this Reese. I mean, she's fun to watch.
It's just as fun to root against somebody sometimes as it is to root for somebody. And so that give you whatever side of any of this you fall on, it's giving you this. You brought that up as a good point.
And I'm not even a rooter in this case. I'm not necessarily rooting for Caitlin Clark to do well or for Angel
Reese.
I'm rooting for a good
the
action
success of the league.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for the success and the growth of the league.
That girl's good to watch.
It's awesome.
She's good to watch.
I think it's awesome. All right, 869-1240 is the number to call. We're making our way through this Monday edition of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you, Jacob Albrock, Rick Regan. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got lots more to get through, including a massive commitment in the state of Kansas today. Perhaps the biggest name ever, the highest stakes recruiting battle, one of ever. We'll get into that, and it's happening today. We'll tell you all about it when we return on Sports Daily. Daily, Jacob Albrock, Rick Regan in with you on this Monday. Rick with us today and tomorrow. Always appreciate him hopping on with us. Jad Chambers producing, manning that IHOP hotline. The Lincoln Cure. How much have you been paying attention to? Do you know about Lincoln Cure, Rick?
He's the tight end kid that's supposed to sign somewhere today, right? Like number three
Goodland?
In the country?
So way out in Goodland, he's the top tight end recruit in the country. He is a five-star recruit, the first five-star in the state of Kansas since 2009. You know who the last five-star is? It's 2009. Take a swing. Take a guess at who the last five-star recruit in the state of Kansas was.
Golly. Can't guess. Kicker?
Bryce Brown.
All right.
So it's been a minute. And that just kind of gives you some indication of how rare it is to get a five-star. So, an NFL-caliber player, basically, was the last time. So that you could make a case, and people have, that Lincoln Cure is the top recruit in the history of the state. Number one tight end in the country. And here's what makes this so interesting. A, he's out in Goodland, so you probably it's totally fine if you've missed him. But he's been flying up the recruiting boards. And his teams today, they're down to K-State, KU, Oregon, and A&M. I think most people generally feel like it's going to be between K-State and KU. I think there is a general feel that it's down. I think most people think K-State's the leader in the clubhouse. His brother has signed for KU. We've got our crew over at KWCH. TJ Cleland's headed out to Goodland. He's probably already on his way. He's making that long drive, 4.5 hours out, to catch this recruitment and bring us live coverage later in the day. But this is a fun one. It's a fun one not only because he is such a highly touted recruit. It's fun because it's way out in Goodland. But it's fun because K-State and KU are thought to be the leaders. And I'm going to tell you, to go through that stretch and have both of these teams this relevant in the recruiting, like, it is just so cool to see. I don't know where he's going to go. I would say if I had to take a stab at it and guess, I would also guess K-State. But I think KU's got a great chance here. And look, he could surprise us too with A&M and Oregon. What you've got here is two teams that are as big in the NIL space as any, in A&M and Oregon. You've got two teams that are showing they can get there in NIL space with K-State and KU. K-State, remember, just handed out what NBA reporters, oddly, say is the biggest basketball NIL deal ever. K-State just handed that out for K-State hoops. So I'm not saying big NIL players for A&M Oregon to say they're bigger. I'm just saying that's, you just never know what's going to come into the equation when those two teams are involved. This could be wild one out there in Goodland today. I can't wait to see what he decides.
So you think that's the only factor in his decision process?
Absolutely not. No, real quick,
I just want to say Bryce Brown, he went to East High. I thought he was a Grizzly. Who's the Northwest guy that went to the NFL?
Breece Hall's in there now.
There we go.
You mean older than that?
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
Great running backs. Yeah, Wichita athletes, man. Bryce Brown.
10 years ago, and then when this kid is trying
Brown's,
to get, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Remember Arthur Brown, then, you know, also the Brown brothers. He also went into the NFL. But as far as high school recruits, Bryce Brown was the last five-star. There aren't very many five-stars every year. Just for people that don't follow that, it's not like you have 35-star athletes, coming through. There just aren't very many. And I'll look this up while we go, just to give you some perspective on how many five-stars there are out there. Let's look at the 2025 class. Right now there are, I said they're not 30. There's actually 32 five-star high school football players in the 2025 class. Lincoln Cure, according to 24/7, is ranked 26th out of those. Most people think it's going to be K-State. He makes his decision today. Should be a lot of fun. Either way, the state of Kansas wins, because you don't get this caliber of player coming out as a high schooler very often. And when they do, you want them to stay in the state of Kansas. And we hope that's what happens today.
How do we feel? Because he's just picking for money. Remember when a kid would want to go
play for money?
You know, how do we know what
he's picking for money?
You don't think he's picking for money now?
I think that's a part of the equation, but I don't think it's the only part of the
equation. If Oregon gives twice as much money, he's not picking that.
You say that like you know.
I don't know. I'm asking you. There was a time when a guy wanted to go play for a coach and play for a team, and now it's different.
It's there's just a different factor in there, but it's not the only factor. Style matters. Who the coach is matters. What you want to do, you know, with your education still absolutely matters. And yeah, money matters, right? But that doesn't mean it's the only thing that matters.
I'd like to hear the kids say that. I hope you guys get some time with him today and let him answer that question.
Well, we're not going to, I don't think we're going to put a 17-year-old in a position to
he's in a position to make a couple of million bucks. He ought to be in a position to answer the questions, right?
We can answer questions. It's just, you know, I don't know that there's a full understanding of the way people perceive that. But I'm not saying, and look, K-State or KU may very well offer the most money. I don't know. But it's hard for me to believe, I'll give you an example, that Avery Johnson didn't have opportunities to make more money, you know, in a direct NIL. Now, he could grow into more. And that's a factor in all this, too. Yeah, there's going to be your initial whatever, your initial offer. But if Lincoln Cure, let's say he chooses K-State, the other piece of NIL is actual endorsement deals. You want to talk about, hey, you're talking to Western Kansas for a lot of agriculture ads and your companies are really trying to do, here's this kid from Goodland, Kansas. You know what I mean? Like, where's that more valuable, in Oregon or in Kansas? And so all that stuff matters. But style and look, if you're this kind of recruit, ultimately your goal is to get to the NFL and make a whole lot of money. And if you're going to do that, where you go, who you're playing for, coach, all that stuff still has to play a massive role in the decisions that you make. I'm just glad, Rick, when we talk about money, that KU and K-State are players and are relevant in the decisions being made by some of the best players in the country, because there was the initial fear when money got into this that there would be other places that would continuously outbid them, and that is just flat not happening. It's not happening for KU hoops. It's not happening for KU football. It's not happening for K-State hoops. It's not happening for K-State football. They've never recruited better than they're recruiting right now.
We're sure lucky
they've
right
never
now.
Been. Collectively, they've never recruited as good as they've as well as they're recruiting right now. So all those fears and worries that people had, and I never subscribed to those fears and worries. I thought this would all make it better for KU and K-State, because what you're going to have is an evening of things. I'm just telling you, and I've always believed this, and I know it's taken time, but through the transfer portal helps to this to some degree too. But like, if you're a star player, and forever those star players went and were like third stringers for Alabama, why on earth would you ever pick that if you're making a decision, right? Why would you ever choose to do that now? Go somewhere where you can play and you can earn on the table, not under the table, right? Through NIL and these other opportunities. And I think we're seeing that. K-State is cleaned up with talent in the state of Kansas. KU is now right there with them through the portal and all these things. You can't tell me that you thought this would go as well as it has for these two schools in football. I mean, you've got two teams that are going to compete for a Big 12 title, that are in an expanded playoff, going to compete to make that playoff for real. Both of these teams are playoff, are legitimate college football national championship playoff contenders. Wrap your head around that for a second. KU and K-State both are.
It's crazy and exciting for us.
They ever would have been. Would they ever have been before NIL and transfer portal come into play? Because I don't think they – no. I think the answer is no. It's not even a hypothetical question. I think I know the answer, and I think it's no. This has made it better.
Let's get the Royals into the playoffs. We'll be living in the greatest sports place there is. Great football, great baseball, great college football, great college basketball.
Let's not take this for granted what we have at the moment now.
I'm not.
We are in a 12 month of year sports relevancy in this region, and boy, there are a lot of times where it's like 0 months a year. For you know how often was it you had K-State football and KU basketball, and that's about it, right? And so now we've got all this. Like we got Royals right now. Yeah, where does Lincoln Cure go today? Just don't I hope he doesn't pick Oregon or A&M. I hope he picks one of the Kansas schools. It's going to be a lot of fun. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to his family. This is such a fun – I still love high school commitments. What a big, fun day that these guys get to have. It's really cool.
I found a great quote from him. He says, "You have to trust that with your heart and trust in God that it is the right decision. If you're getting a really good feeling at one university and not another, that will bring up some questionable things in your decision. So you have to go with that feeling." Of course, he says, "I love Kansas. I love everything about Kansas State. I absolutely love the area, Oregon. I love everything about Texas A&M." So he has some great decisions to make. It looks like he loves every place that wants him. Let's see what happens. Be exciting.
I think I'm with everybody else. I think K-State, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, though, with his brother going to KU and as big as KU's been and as successful, by the way, as KU's been with tight ends. Mason Fairchild, he's had a great career.
Maybe
so has K-State. Ben Sinnott was just drafted.
Maybe
Ben Sinnott being just drafted and the success he had is the biggest reason for me of why I think Kuhr will go, is because you've got a chance to be a part of a great offense that just produced an NFL tight end.
He could just be kind to his folks and go to KU.
Are his folks KU people?
They're going to have to go to two different places. Going to be some pretty busy Saturdays for that family.
I think you put yourself in their shoes, Rick, and you're like, just make the best decision can make. Don't worry too much about that. And they're like, God, we're going to have two college football players. That's incredible. 869-1240. TJ Cleland will have you all covered on that, by the way, for 12 News. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it. Be cool. Maybe I'll have TJ give us a buzz. I know he'll be very busy. He's out in Western Kansas doing a bunch of different things, but that'll be today. We'll have it for you tonight on 12 News. Be a lot of fun. Lincoln Kuhr, first 5-star in 15 years out of the state of Kansas, making his call today, and KU and K-State are both in the mix. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network tonight when we return on Sports Daily.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.